Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good, Adam. And I'm feeling spooky because it's nighttime and we're doing this during nighttime.
I thought you were going to say it was October for a second.
It's throw also
for a loop.
But, it's also October in some other universe where October happens in February.
Well, that's impressive if that's true. But what I like more than that is just that you think all night times are spooky.
All night times are spooky for me. Whenever I smoked, and maybe when I smoke again, at some point in my life.
Are you talking about cigarettes?
Yes.
Are you talking about, okay.
No, not that that wacky tobacco. I'm talking about the cigarettes.
Not those jazz cigarettes, regular yeah. cigarettes? What about Utah jazz cigarettes? What do you think would be in those?
Like freeze-dried or dehydrated Coca-Cola.
Wait, do they have a Coca-Cola plant in Utah?
No, it's because the Mormons can't have caffeine, and that was the only caffeinated thing I could think of. But then I was like, you can't put straight-up Coca-Cola in the cigarette, so it would have to be dehydrated, and then yeah.
So you think they're smoking caffeine cigarettes in Utah?
I mean, that's how you get wild at Mitt Romney's house, you know. You know, you do a little bit of that caffeine, you know.
Well,
I'm saying is, I would smoke cigarettes at nighttime, but not during the day, because it was the only spooky time.
Oh, I feel. Wait, yeah. Wait, the smoke keeps the ghost away?
I'll fight any ghost that ever exists. Like, if there's a ghost right now around me, I'll fight him, like, fisticuffs.
Well, I can tell that our guest is maybe skeptical of your bravery, considering you just called nighttime spooky time. I'm excited, Daniel. We have someone who is very special to me, very special to the podcast overall. We have our almost always at this point producer on the show. We've got Paulette on the show today. How you doing, Paulette?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
Yay.
And I don't know if cigarettes help, like, comfort you in the dark. Is that what we're learning about you right yeah. now? But I'm into these fun facts about each other. Let's keep it going.
I like smoking in the dark.
Is it because it's a pensive thing or because it's hot in the daytime?
I think it's because it's hot in the daytime, and I felt like for something about it felt grosser in the daytime. Also, let's be honest. When,
you were drunk in the evenings.
Yeah, in the evening I would have a few drinks, and then I would feel the urge to smoke. So that would probably be the culprit. I mean, you know, that would actually, you know, yeah. What is it? You know, just because there's causality or whatever doesn't make it real, kind of thing. Whatever they say in statistics.
Causality doesn't equal
realness.
Man, I can't remember that. I think it's two C words.
It's two
it's
C
like
words.
It's like a effect. It's correlation. That's what
yeah,
it is.
Correlation doesn't indicate causality or something. I don't know. Paulette's getting to listen to one of the things she cuts out live on tape. Yeah, that's
but also, I want to say, Daniel, you said you would fight a ghost if you ever saw one. I just want to throw in there. There's fight or flight, but there's also freeze. I wonder if you're one of those people.
Like Daniel's a freezer.
Yeah, like you get so scared or startled, you just don't do anything for a second.
There was one time I got sleep paralysis, and I had the sleep paralysis, and the only thing I could do was make a noise because I couldn't move my lips because I was sleep paralyzed, and I was just like, you know. Like, and so I would do something like that if I saw a ghost, but then I would fight them, and I feel like I would do well unless the ghost was like physically stronger than me. Like if it was a stronger ghost, then I would be
in trouble. I'm a freezer. I know it from two experiences. One, I woke up when I was maybe 7 years old, and there was this cardboard cutout of Luke Skywalker that I believe it was part of a Doritos ad that was up in our Walmart about the time the special editions of Star Wars came out, and my mom was very nurturing and loved me a lot. So she asked, like, it had been up for a while, and at some point she just asked someone at our Walmart, like, can my son have one of those or something? So I had the Luke Skywalker one, and it was up in my closet. And I woke up in the middle of the night, needed to pee, and I had left my closet light on because I was still scared of the dark, maybe. I don't remember doing that all the time, but on this particular night, I was feeling spooky. And the closet light was on. I woke up and I looked over, and there was a zombie in my closet. And I was frozen for the longest time, like almost peed my pants, and then slowly realized it was that Luke Skywalker cutout and odd lighting. And I did it again later. I was home alone for one of the first times, and I turned on the TV as a light source to get off of the bed, which was actually a couch. I was using a couch as a bed. And I turned on the TV for light so I wouldn't trip, and on the TV was the tape from The Ring. The movie The Ring, the tape you watch that kills you, that's like a weird black and white art film with creepy noises and like graphic violent images. And I couldn't stop, I couldn't change the channel, I couldn't turn it off, and I didn't own the tape. I hadn't rented the tape. The TV VCR was empty. So I just sat there frozen as the whole thing played. And then finally at the end, it was like The Ring 2 in theaters. Whenever. But I was terrified. And then I watched a full episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, even though I had to pee so badly because I couldn't like walk down the hallway alone.
That was your scared punishment, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
So moral of the story is I'm a coward.
No, also, that's a terrifying movie.
Yeah, it was real scary.
The Ring and When Darkness Falls, I think, were the last scary movies I've ever seen.
The Ring I was terrified of. Darkness Falls is about the Tooth Fairy. I laughed about that one a lot when I saw it.
I think I was watching it with like my junior high friends and like left to go to the bathroom and then realized I don't have to go back. Because I was so scared and I was like,
you just lived in the bathroom?
No, I like waited in the lobby and ate candy and waited for my friends. I'm a coward.
We're cowards over here, Daniel.
You know what I did? You know what I did catch in that story that we share, an experience that we share. Did you say that you slept on a couch or something for a while?
Yeah, my parents got a new couch and they were gonna throw the old one out, and I decided I had bunk beds because I was spoiled, I guess. Like, what? We weren't well off, but somehow I convinced my parents that I needed bunk beds as a single child.
Oh yeah, What did you have, like, what, a ton of friends coming over or something?
I did have friends over on a lot of weekends. I lived in a neighborhood where I had a buddy and I had friends from school. But I just thought it would be cool to sleep up high. But when they got rid of the couch, I was like, all right, you're an adult now, 13-year-old Adam. Get that old couch. That's your new bed. It's going to be great. You'll have lower back issues for the rest of your life.
Well, I had a similar thing. It wasn't a couch, but I had a chair. So think about kind of like an overstuffed upholstered chair.
Wait, it wasn't even a Lazy Boy?
Hold on now. I got to finish the story. Where you would pull the cushion off and it would unfold a little twin bed. Oh. So I was like, I felt cool because I could unfold my little twin bed and then fold it back and I had my nice little chair, watch a lot of Dragon Ball. That was around the time when I had a lot of time to watch Dragon Ball Z. You know, like
I had the same chair, Daniel. I had the same chair, but it was when I lived in my sister's apartment right after college or during one of the college summers, and I was working at a bank, and I couldn't buy a bed, so I bought a chair that it like flipped out twice and became a foam mattress, and then you rolled it back up.
Yeah, well, mine was had more of a frame to it, like a fold-out couch, but still the same concept. I do want to say, Paulette, could you imagine walking up to a younger Adam who's maybe has a little more spunk in his step as a bank teller, but also still has a tinge of, like, I hate being here, but also wants to do a good enough job because he wants to be a good employee, you know, but also looks scruffy because he wants to be a rock and roller. Like, all those things rolled up into one, and then you're, like, asking him to deposit a check or some shit.
I wish I could have seen that. Yes.
I was a pudgier version of me because I had discovered alcohol. And also, I had 30 minutes for lunch, and the McDonald's closest was running a buy a Big Mac combo, get an extra Big Mac for $1. So every day for lunch, I had two Big Macs and fries and a soda.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So yeah, I was putting a dent in the foam.
Adam's body style used to... Well, he is the greatest example of what's wrong with like Southern living, because the second he drove over the California state line, he lost like 15 pounds.
I think it also has to do with like moving out on your own, because I can attest to like finally moving out from my parents and living on my own. I lost a lot of weight by just like being out here, making my own dinners, having more access to salads, just because that was a thing here in LA.
Did your parents try to feed you up? Was there a, because in the South, a lot of times, you know,
that's a very Mexican and Jewish thing too, to feed you up. But for some reason, my mother missed all of that and doesn't really feed everybody till they're full. She'd rather just be like, maybe you should pull back. But also, my mom can only really cook like a couple different things because that's what my brother loved. So like, we got rice, we got pasta, we got like bread.
There's something similar about those foods.
Yeah.
They're all made of sugar. Well, earlier, I almost had a great transition earlier. I was going to say, speaking of cowards.
Speaking of nerds.
I was waiting for you. Interrupted my segue, so I was waiting for you to finish.
No, yeah. Well, anyways, I don't know. Moses is a nerd. Anyway, so.
What?
No, we're deep into the Moses. No, he's a nerd because we'll get into it because there's a whole thing about Brother Aaron in this chapter that I want to chat about.
Okay.
Well, I want to warn you, Daniel, because I looked over and Paulette was reading a book on top of having already read the Bible chapters. So I think she may be out here to put some knowledge on us.
Oh. No, it's just a exciting one because I know it and I recognize stuff.
I'm excited. That makes me so excited.
Well, we were talking last with Genesis, or sorry, excuse me, Exodus 5. Moses has encountered the burning bush. God tells him he's going to go be a prophet and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Moses keeps being like, nah, God, I'm not so sure I'm the guy for that. And God is like, it's going to be fine. Your brother's going to help you out. I'm going to tell you what to say. Here are some weird magic powers. And that's kind of where we pick up with Exodus 6.
Well, I just a small thing. He actually goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh takes away all the straw and other shit.
Wait, that happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pharaoh is already punishing the Israelites.
Oh, that's right. They took the straw out of the bricks.
Yeah, and they're pissed.
They just stopped providing it. They said they had to go get their supplies to make the bricks as well now, so it just takes double the time, but they still want the same amount of bricks. Did he already tell him, the Pharaoh? Did he already ask the Pharaoh to let his people go once, and that was the punishment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say let him.
He asked for a vacation.
Yeah.
He said, let us go pray.
No PTO. No.
From foreign lands, yeah.
Well, he knew that it was obviously code for give us a vacation, and during the vacation we're just gonna not come back.
Yeah, I think that was clear. So I'm gonna read Exodus 6 from the New International Version. I have been using the World English Bible because it's in the public domain, quote unquote. But you know what? This NIV is up online. I don't know what's going on with it, but the WEB sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm done reading it for now until we get some activity from some lawyer. Are you all right?
No, yeah, I was looking at my Torah to see if I should bring it. Keep talking.
Paulette got a sense from the Torah. It was burning.
Called me.
Behind her.
Can't keep going.
All right. So this is Exodus 6 from the New International Version. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. That's a little ominous. There's a difference between letting someone go and driving them out of your country.
Yeah, the verbiage there is weird.
And that was just the first verse. I think it's going to be a banger. Verse 2, God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord. Is that it the same in your Bible, Daniel?
Yeah. The Quest Bible is the NIV.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I still read it wrong. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians nations are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.
Hmm. I have a question for Paulette, because, and this could be born out of ignorance, so you can just let me know. But a little question that the Quest Bible brings up in this section is, the God says that he comes to Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty, but my name the Lord. Anyways, he calls himself the Lord. And so I did a little research based on the Quest Bible. And there's a question about whether or not he has ever named himself the Lord. He obviously has earlier in our version of the Bible, but I guess in the official, like maybe the King James or other versions, he has not said that. Anyhow, this is supposed to be the first time that he revealed himself with that phrase, the Lord. And previously, he used the word El Shaddai, Shaddai, which is, I've never heard before. And he also used the term Yahweh. So I've heard Yahweh, I've heard the great I Am, the Lord, God, all those. I don't know. I'm just asking, like, in the Jewish religion, has El Shaddai ever come up? Because I've literally never heard that.
Just might not have heard it before. It might be one of the...
That was a weird one.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with El Shaddai. Yeah. But to clarify, he didn't say, but my name, the Lord. He said, but by my name, the Lord.
Oh, yeah, but by my name, the Lord. Anyways, they explained it as the first time that he's come out with this name. Like, I'm a fan. The Lord.
I like referring to God as the Lord. I like him saying I am the Lord.
Isn't his name supposed to be like a big secret?
I think you're thinking of Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
So Bible, right?
I mean, his name isn't a big secret. There's a scene in Indiana Jones where he has to spell the name of God on these tiles that break out if he picks the wrong ones.
Oh, yeah, the jumping part. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, wait, the name is Jehovah. It's not, he's like, it must be Jehovah. And then he steps on the wrong thing and he's like, oh, wait, but in Greek, it's Jehovah is spelled with an I.
Idiot.
It's a great scene, guys. Watch the movie. All right, I'm going to pick up with our Lord again. Verse 9. I did want to mention, it would make me a little nervous if the Lord was like, hey, I'm going to give you this land that I promised to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. All these people who are dead now. So by promising them they would have it, I meant their descendants, I guess. Unless they were...
Also, why didn't the Lord give it to them when it was most advantageous to give them the land? Like, when Joseph was running Egypt, he could have just given them Canaan then. But he sent them
Wait,
to...
Wait, is he talking about Canaan?
Some
he's
other place.
He's not saying this. Oh.
Give him the
it's
land
a,
of Canaan.
It's like, he's talking about Canaan. The place where the Israelites didn't want any of their kids to have
crazy,
any Canaanite
women. Because he's talking about the land of milk and honey, and it's just Canaan? Okay, I've never realized this, because the promised land to me has always been like this mythical place. It's just Canaan. Okay.
Yeah, Canaan, the area that, by all accounts, by the Israelites, is a place where they don't want to be. Like, they don't like the people from Canaan. They don't want to hang out with anyone from Canaan, but they want to live in Canaan.
Yeah, they don't want... Is this ringing any bells for you, Paula?
No.
These are details that only people who have decided to read the Bible would pick up on.
All right, verse 9. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. The Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?"
Okay, so this is interesting. You call Moses a nerd, Daniel, but in these, like, there's been two moments right now that have been definitely very, like, this is a characteristic I've never associated with Moses before. Before, when the Lord was like, "I choose you, you will speak the words through my mouth, like, through your mouth," and he's like, really? Me? Are you sure? Why not someone? Okay, fine. And then this time he's like, once they go in, like, look, I've tried. Pharaoh won't listen to me. Do I really have to try again? It's not like he has no faith in himself.
He's a Bilbo. He's the Bible glorifies the meek, right?
Well, he's real worried about his lisp. Like, it's kind of, I mean, look, there's a lot of times when the Bible doesn't do very well with, like, character development. But this does seem like a little thing that, I mean, that if you were making a movie, I'm kind of surprised this has never come up in the movie or in movies that he has a lisp and, like, he can't.
Yeah, I mean, that just says something really at the base of what this is. The first thing that we're getting to that kind of rings true with my original idea for the podcast, which is that the stories in the Bible are much more, like, compassionate and palatable and about, like, you know, like Jesus not being an asshole. This is the first thing where it's like, all right, we're going to make this movie called The Prince of Egypt, and we're going to hype up the drama on everything, except let's not make Moses an old man. Let's make him a pretty attractive young guy, and let's not give him a speech impediment. When the Bible, one of the few details the Bible has ever fleshed out is that Moses is uncomfortable speaking.
Well, and it also goes to, I don't know, like when, you know, Southern Baptist preachers, or I was technically General Baptist, which is kind of like a watered down.
I was
Southern
hoping
Baptist.
It was like a Baptist that was commanding all the Baptist forces. They had like one of those maps with the sticks where they pushed.
Yeah, moving little wooden crosses over a risk board. Anyways, it's like, it's the same thing I do all of the podcasts. Like, what would Brother Larry say? It's like Moses is a character that has faults, who's worried, who at the very end of everything, because even though he's scared, he has this lisp, he can't speak correctly, has to overcome and become powerful and save his people and believe in God while he's doing it, even though he doesn't believe he's strong enough. Like, it's so, I don't know, it's weird, because, like, that is something that I feel like a Hollywood movie would grasp upon, is like an imperfection, you know, that they overcome eventually, even though Aaron seems to
well,
do everything.
Well, I haven't watched Prince of Egypt all the way through in a long time. I think you and I may do that this Saturday. So it could be that it's touched on more than I remember.
Well, the big movie, what is the big movie that was made years and years ago with a famous white man who played
the black
Moses,
and white one?
Back in the 60s.
What's
later.
That guy's name?
Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah. The gun rights hero.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston.
Yeah, he didn't have no lisp in that movie either. So, like, nobody, I don't think anybody's done the lisp thing.
Is it specifically a lisp, Daniel? I'm thinking it might be a stutter.
I just don't remember
if it was outlined specifically.
Lips. I think it was a lisp.
No, it just says.
Okay, well, all that's important is that the man is uncomfortable speaking. I think that's good enough.
Yeah. We'll just say it's a king speech situation.
I'm going to finish off the reading because there's not much left. And then I'm going to let Paulette monologue for about 5 minutes so that she can have equal time on the recording. And we don't get lit up in the comments for being assholes. All right. So this is now, we're getting to a chunk that has another long lineage. Daniel, you and I have decided to not read these long lists of names on the podcast. If you want to read this long list of names, feel free to do so. It's very available on the internet. So I'm just going to read the front. I'm going to read the preamble and the end cap of this list of names. So this is verse 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. Then it goes through the sons of some of, some people we are familiar with, like Reuben and I see Simeon in there, continues, more names, lineages. And then in verse 26, it was Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. This same Moses and Aaron. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Some of that classic Bible repetition there. That is the end of the chapter.
I do, I did read a small thing from the Quest Bible, where the Quest Bible explained, it actually said, this is from the Quest Bible, why is the storytelling in Exodus so repetitive?
They really want to nail that point in. I agree. It's just so repetitive. It's like, I really got a little like confused when I was reading these chapters being like, am I just a slow reader? Did I already read this?
Well, the Quest Bible is finally going to answer it for us.
Well, their answer is that it was an oral tradition that this was passed down orally.
Wasn't that my theory, Daniel?
Something that we've talked ago? About. Yeah, I think you talked about it. So people just repeat this, you know, over and over. And obviously, yeah, if you're repeating a story, you have to orally, you have to kind of recap or like reset the, you know, things.
Well,
you know, reset the scene.
We're running a little longer than usual. So let's go ahead and give our rating of this thing for Exodus 6. Paulette, how do you feel about Exodus 6?
Ooh, me first. Okay.
Would you prefer we go first?
Yeah.
All right. Exodus 6. I'm going to give Exodus 6 a good 2. I feel like that's almost being generous. I'm going to give it 2 sons of Abraham. I don't have anything clever. This is 2 stars. The chapter's not that clever either. There's repetition. Not that much happens. I think we're going to get a lot more in the next one. What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, I'm not going to forgive names. Chapters are getting bad reviews when there's a bunch of names. But also, you know, look, I'm loving Moses. I think everybody loves Moses. Let's be honest.
It's a good. It's the first novel-esque story we're getting.
Yeah, so I'm gonna
give
it a
3. I think that's fair. Also, you got God saying he's the Lord for the first time. I'm gonna bump it up to 2.5.
Yeah, that's fun.
I feel like this chapter really lets you root for Moses because he's really, they're downplaying Moses a little bit. He's downplaying himself a little bit. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm the right guy. And a little part of me is like, come on, Moses. Just, he obviously believes in you. But also the repetition brings it down a little bit for me just because I'm paying attention. So why do I have to repeat it? I guess I would do, I would be at a 3, but maybe I'm kind.
Nice. No, I think that's fair. You make a good point.
Yeah. Also, your rating is your
right.
own.
Well, Paulette, I would be oh so honored, and I know Daniel would be too, if you would join us again on the next episode for Genesis chapter 7. Are you at all interested?
Oh, absolutely. We're just getting started.
Awesome. you know, the weird thing is, Daniel, we don't have that many people to listen to us, but I was about to make a joke that was like, hi friends, or hi mom, or we have no idea who the people who listen to this show are. pretty sure it's not
Look,
our
honestly,
friends.
Listen, none of our friends can even tell us what's going on our podcast, so I have no idea who's listening to this. There's actually half the people who listen to this are listening on something that they can't even be detected by the metrics. So I'm a little bit worried it's just bots.
I love those bots. Thank you so much for listening. If you are a bot, thank you very much. If you're not a bot, thank you very much. Paulette, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you even more, potentially. Is that fair? Thank you equally for editing the podcast so well. Appreciate your work. And we'll see you on the next episode of... Oh, wait. One more thing. Daniel, a long time ago, you said that anyone who emailed us with feedback, the first 10 people, would get a Readin' Heathens coin printed from your own 3D printer. How many of those bad boys have we sent out so far?
Oh, Adam, you know, I was real worried about being able to afford to do that, and you know what? Didn't need to be worried at all.
What? Not a single?
Not a single one. Now, granted, everyone could be shy emailers, but you know what? We'll beg. I'll double down on my begging. Why don't you just tell us that we're bad at podcasting? The first 10 people to tell us that we're bad at podcasting will get 3
agree.
Coins.
We're looking for some feedback so we can turn this into a better podcast. Daniel, we're getting more and more bots listening every month. That is very clear from the metrics. So hopefully we'll get some of those emails. Maybe we should just start sending them to the legit spam emails we get to our account. I got a classic like Nigerian prince email the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting tons of those. Well, we get We get tons of people who want us to pay them to advertise the podcast. Like, everybody wants us to give them free money.
Oh man, I have so much to say. I'll save it for the next episode. All right, bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. Hostapod@gmail.com.